Well, hello, how you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your midweek Wednesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this 24th day of February 2021. Gang's all here, JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you're waking up to, well, you know what? It's basically a carbon copy of yesterday. It's cloudy to start, it's relatively warm, and we got some snow on the way. Up to 5 centimeters, beginning kind of late morning over the lunch hour. Heaviest stuff will be this afternoon into this evening, 5 centimeters in total, but today's high will be a nice and mild plus one. The forecast for tomorrow starts with clouds and sunny. It'll be a windy day tomorrow and a bit colder. Minus three will be the high tomorrow. Then on Friday, sunny minus one, and then turning milder again on the weekend, plus one Saturday. How about 4 degrees, plus four? That's some serious melting. That's the forecast for Sunday. But again, today, 5 centimeters of snow on the way, starting a little later on. Current temperature in Ottawa is minus two. As we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm good, JR. And for anybody out there, parking lot-wise, went over to old Tim Hortons.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, watch it. And I was thinking about your wife and breaking an ankle. And boy, oh, boy, I just kind of felt that. And then in the parking lot there. So not a bad morning, but be very careful if you're walking anywhere this morning. Beyond that, I'm excellent after watching the ice hockey match.
Yeah, it was a great game last night. Yeah, yes, it's fine. an ankle-snapping, wrist-breaking kind of walk for you this morning. I knew immediately when I turned onto the street off my street when I saw a bunch of salt that the salters have been out overnight, so they know the roads are right at that tipping point. And yeah, the parking lot, our back parking lot here at work.
Yeah,
I almost went for a header, and then I go because our parking lot has a drain right in the middle, and everything slopes on the one side toward that drain. And so when you get that just that little bit of freeze overnight of what was melted in the day. And you don't really see it. It's kind of like, and so, wise man, been walking into this building for 20 years.
That's true.
Always go to the flat side.
Yeah.
And walk gingerly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and I always notice the first thing in the morning, get a little bit of an idea at my building. Kind of the same thing, the way it was built, obviously, to make the water slope away as you come out of the front door. I can see it generally, so I'm kind of seeing it. I'm not sure if it's, you know, is it just rain or does it end up being ice? So the minute I get to there, you get a bit of a feel, but you get that feel of going down. And as I hop into the taxi, it's almost like, okay, nice and slow here. Don't need any accidents. Don't want to be in the old hospital. So we're good to go.
Okay. Hammer and I just looked at each other as you were in the middle right there.
Yeah.
Did you just belch on the radio? Did you?
No. I don't think so.
Hammer?
There wasn't like a little one in there?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't.
What
I
do you
know.
Mean you don't know?
A little Powerade belt?
No, I didn't. No,
wow.
No, there's times that I haven't. I try to move the mic away. I didn't feel it there. I think it was just
You maybe do a very good job of just squashing your burp sometimes early in the morning because we got water going on. We got coffee going on. You got your Powerade happening there.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought I sensed one there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I don't.
I will review the tape later.
Me too.
Go to the video.
Hammer gave me the hairy eyeball look, and I'm like, I think I heard that too. Anyway, all good. So, what a game last night. I got to tell you what, man, this is the reason why you're a hockey fan, right? You watch those games like last night. Man, it had everything. It had goals. Yeah. It had fights. It had controversy with wiped out goals. It had, you know, star players. It had a shootout.
Just
bottle it up and give us that 56 times this year, and we'd be very happy. And especially for most of the people listening this morning, especially when the home side ends up winning the game.
Yeah, and for Sens fans that have been around a long time, JR, if you go back to, I guess, kind of a Yashin to Alfredsson to Hossa to Havlat, as you started to see a foundation, I mean, the part when I watch that is just beyond exciting is just to continue to see the evolution of the young players. And Brady Tkachuk always plays his best hockey against Montreal. But I'll tell you what, the plays that are being made, in particular by Batherson and Stützle, and Batherson's hands last night, both in chipping pucks and making plays, that goal that he schooled. And let's be honest, when you get to the shootout there and with Norris and Stützle, when you're talking about Carey Price, and he certainly had his moments, although I'll tell you what, he's stopping the unstoppables, but not stopping the stoppables.
Exactly.
But come shootout time, man, oh, man, he didn't know if he was coming or going. Stützle came in, couple of moves right between the legs. Norris comes in, he collapses down, and, boy, they just made it look effortless. So you kind of check through the list, and the kids are leading the way, and that was really just fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, to watch Stützle go in on that shootout, again, I just can't get over how confident that guy is.
Oh,
and it's not confident cocky.
Yeah.
He's just confident, like, you know, I got this. And he's tapping his stick, and he's turning it over the puck, and he's doing everything a guy who's been doing shootouts for 10 years would do in the NHL. And instead, it's his first attempt, and he's shooting on, allegedly, one of the world's greatest goalies, who isn't playing like that these days. But anyway, he goes, you know, like... You know, you're the former goaler.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Getting beat 5-hole, is that kind of the one where you're going, oh, man, that's or along the ice 5-hole is kind of all. Not embarrassing, but it's kind of like, yeah, when I want to, I can always just go 5-hole.
It is, and you've seen players in the past, and actually I think an example of that would have been Hossa back in the day, where guys just kind of come in. I don't even consider those, and certainly Murray had it last night in the regular, and Carey Price, that goal on Tkachuk. There's traditionally 5-hole JR, which to me is a little bit off the ice, right between the wickets, and then there's ones that just go under your pads, and to me, those are the ones you don't, but that was really a spot where Carey Price just had no clue, and to have those tight hands, you see how high his lower hand is when he's coming and shooting, and the confidence. And then you had the sequence earlier in the game where he made the sweet pass over to Batherson, who chips the Tkachuk off of the wing. But as I said, not only for Stutzla, but the way that Norris walked in and just, I mean, unleashed that. And all of a sudden, Carey Price said, well, this guy's going to go 5-hole as well. But a lot of confidence. Now, for Timmy Stutzla, based on some of the treatment that he'd gotten from the Montreal Canadiens, after reviewing the tapes and seeing him smiling at his buddy Brady Tkachuk, I think we got a nice rivalry cooking here with the Montreal Canadiens pretty quickly. That was a sequence, and it's fun and it's sweet when you're 19 years old, but it's also one of those things, if you're the Montreal Canadiens, I would assume that might get you a little bit fired up going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. That and we'll get into all of it throughout the morning. There's so many different talking points from this game last night, but that was one of the, again, if you're a huge fan of the Sens and of the kids, so that moment after Brady Tkachuk gets into a fight with Ben Sherrod, and it was Sherrod who hit Stutzla twice on the head in the game a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they go into it in the corner, and Tkachuk pops him to the point of, and I know the guy who bleeds doesn't necessarily win the fight or whatever, but he popped him right in the face, and Sherratt skates off the ice with a bloody nose, and it's kind of like, and then he's sitting in the penalty box, and Stutzla's circling around on the ice, and the two of them are smiling at each other, and it's kind of like, I got you, buddy, don't worry about it. And it's those little things that just must, just in terms of bringing a team together, and especially the group of, I think Mike Johnson made this point on the TV post-game show, about the young guys all kind of going, you know what, we're this is the group going forward. Seven or eight of us here. We're going to be the group that for the next foreseeable future, however long that may be, 3-5 years, beyond if you're lucky, but at least for the here and now, that's going to be the group leading the way. And they've already kind of, you know, they've taken it. They're leading the bus already, which is the incredible part of all this.
Yeah, it is. And it is that group of four. And this is the beauty. And I'll put Norris even into it because he's traded at a young enough age in the Carlson trade, JR. That when you build that foundation of kids that are drafted, and again, people went through that here in Ottawa, that is the most fun as a fan. That is your best chance in any market, where the kids just look around and say, hey, certainly contracts are important, but for right now, we're living the life. We're living together. We're having fun. We're improving as a hockey player. And you know what? This is going to be really good. And I just look at the foundation of that four. And what I would also say from an Ottawa Senators perspective, I agree that you need to surround young players and Stepan and, you know, Stutzlin, Batherson talking about his leadership. But as you watch this evolving this year, what you really just need going forward, don't worry about the kids anymore. These guys are all fine. You just got to go out and find better hockey players to support them. It really is past that where, and I felt that for the beginning of the season with Tkachuk and Shabbat and now some of the other guys, now you can really go into the next phase of, like I said, I'm not worrying about babysitting, or I'm not even worried about toughness. These guys are going to be fine. Take this to the next level and see what you can do to make the hockey team better.
Hammer, you were at the game last night. How was the atmosphere?
Man, it was electric.
The crowd must have been off the charts for the shootout, eh?
Oh, yeah. Dean and Gord were well into it, very much into it.
I heard reports that they were chanting Haley, Haley at warm-up. Is that accurate?
I can't deny or confirm that from the crowd, but it's just one of those games that you really wish it was a packed house at the CTC, because it would have been it was amazing without the fans, and what it could have been with the fans would have been just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So, when you think about what's happened with Ottawa, you know, just in the past, 8 days or whatever it's been, right? The huge comeback win over Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of Ottawa's history, historic comeback from 4 goals down to win. And then, you know, 4 wins in the last 6 overall, and 2 wins over Montreal, and, you know, an overtime, and then a shootout yesterday with all the controversy in the middle of it. I mean, for the past 10 days, Man alive. I mean, that, you know, no matter how the rest of the season goes, and it certainly appears to be on the upswing.
Yeah.
This kind of little 10-day window has given you just a taste of potentially what's to come. And that's what's got to feel the most encouraging of all.
Yeah, you really do. Those four to Shabbat, to Brännström offensively being better, getting his first goal. No, there's feelings there. And like I said, I just look at the foundation. And hey, for Sens fans and for everybody, it's been a long haul here. It can't happen soon enough, but it really is. You just almost go through the lineup and say, hey, clear out all the fat you possibly can. And between either the trade deadline or this summer, are there things internally or externally that you can do to really kind of wonder, as we settle into expansion, a flat cap, could you take this to the next level next year where you legitimately knock on the door for a playoff spot?
Yeah. How about the fact that, you know, Pierre Dorion, as most GMs do, they've got their own little suite, right, with especially with no fans at the game. How about at the end of the game for the shootout? He's down Price was in the Zamboni end?
Yeah.
For the shootout, yeah, and Pierre Dorion's standing down in the Zamboni entrance,
yeah,
doing the old minor hockey parent hex thing. Hey, I didn't see anything. They did the one close-up.
Oh, he's banging on the glass trying to distract Price. That's what yeah. Pierre's doing.
Going back to the Navin Hockey Arena in the day.
Well, as a manager, and if you're working in management, JR, there's certain games in the regular season, maybe not as much. But for him, Pierre Dorion, growing up in Ottawa, I'm assuming a Montreal fan, his first job in professional hockey was running that feeling, that rivalry. And certainly the games with Toronto were fun. But to me, Montreal, for myself being back 10 years, for the playoffs that they've had, it just takes on a different feeling. Even when the games are going on, Hammer and JR, when there's a crowd, I've always found the energy to be fun. Like it almost is like, and maybe it's because also the colors mix in the Graham versus the Leafs. But the energy about it in the game, and like I said, Brady Tkachuk, hey, he does some good things, but it just appears every time he steps on the ice with the Montreal Canadiens that he actually takes it to another level that feels like a playoff game.
If we're ranking intensity by the amount of swears that were went over the TSN 1200 airwaves,
yes,
it was the most intense game that I have been to so far this year.
So it looks like people have settled in because I don't have any emails in my inbox this morning. So
they're either getting used to it or it's not coming over exactly as clear as it is in our headset.
Oh, that's the
rink.
That's the good production work that you're doing at the rink. So all good. Well, as we said, so many talking points in that game last night. What a night. What a game overall. Brady Tkachuk's night just in and of itself is just, you know, we could spend 3 hours on that. And, of course, the controversial no goal, the goalie interference ruling at the end of regulation, which allowed that game to get to a shootout. Certainly Montreal fans pretty sour about all of that. So we'll come back. We'll get into it in detail. Love your feedback on anything related to the game last night or where we're at. You can text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN 1200. Phone lines are always open at 750-1200. We will get into more detail on the Sens 5-4 shootout win over Montreal when we come back right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 6:25 on this Wednesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Glad you're along. We'll get to Sens Habs in just a second. I want to bring everybody up to date on the other big news of the day yesterday, and that, of course, was the car accident that Tiger Woods was in. And I think for everybody that got the news sort of mid-afternoon, you're going, wow, okay, geez, you know, this is like, what, almost pretty close to a year from Kobe Bryant. Yeah. You're just thinking the worst, right? Everything's been so bad for a year.
Yeah.
You're thinking, oh my God, now it's Tiger Woods. Well, thankfully, we can tell you this morning that Tiger Woods is on the mend, according to his own personal Twitter, which I'm assuming he's not writing, but his own personal Twitter earlier this morning. He is, quote, currently awake, responsive, and recovering in his hospital room. So from a Tiger Woods will live point of view, all good, it would appear, that he is on the mend. Now, from a Tiger Woods ability to play golf in the future, that presumably will remain very much up in the air for the foreseeable future, because he has several fractures, including the tibia, the fibula. They put in a rod in the longer of those bones. He's got fractures in his ankle. He's got fractures in his foot. He is, the lower part of his body is pretty darn beat up. He's got multiple screws in as well. So where you're looking at a long, long recovery for Tiger Woods. But the best news is Tiger Woods is going to survive this.
Yeah.
But just in terms of the golf part, that is going to be up in the air for a while.
Yeah, and so many flashbacks, JR, of course, to Kobe Bryant and to O.J. Simpson. Just strange. And I guess it's because California seems to lead the league, or maybe the only place on the planet that still has helicopters in the air for traffic, right? That's the visuals we see. And I had the coverage come on, and certainly, yeah, you think, oh, my God. Then you end up seeing the vehicle, you start to wonder, the coverage goes forward. And it's also interesting in the United States, or I guess anywhere, when mainstream media is covering a sports story, it was interesting that quickly people kind of went to the angles about whether or not he'd be able to play golf in the future. And I'm thinking, honestly, is that really, does anybody care? Like, you know, hey, just get healthy. But yeah, the magnitude of the crash, to see that, and yeah, very thankful with the spot that he's in. But it was a real eerie feeling watching that coverage.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not trying to defend, as you said, but in the early time, and just, you know, not, I haven't been on a breaking news desk on CNN before, but I can only speak a little bit of someone who has a background in that. In the very early moments when something like this happens, you're absolutely scrambling
for things to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, they're showing the same 15 seconds of video.
No, you're trying to grab guests. Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And you basically don't have any information other than what you're seeing and a cup, you know, and a two sentence statement from his agent. You got to find stuff to you got to fill, as they say, and you don't have anything to talk about. So, you know, in a roundabout, I understand that because other people weighed in with the same opinion that you did. It's inappropriate to talk about his golf future, but you know what? That is part of the story. Yeah. And that's why they do what they do. Just from having a background
in it,
if you're wondering why they would immediately start to talk about that, it's because they are just scrambling to get guests and to find out more information overall.
Yeah, and it's a good point.
I understand.
You know, and you certainly look at every athlete a little bit different, and I guess that's different with golf, where the phase of most professional athletes, we look at, okay, they're coming into the league and they're a star. We look at them if they're a star when they're playing, and then we look at them in retirement. And Tiger Woods is still a good golfer, and not even 2 years ago won a major. But yeah, no, but it was, as I said, more than anything, it just is interesting that in the state of California that we've had those three incidents. And like I said, the overall visuals, just brought back such an eerie feeling. And not that anybody should feel sorry for O.J. Simpson, but certainly on the coverage of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, sorry. What's the O.J. Simpson angle?
Well, no, I remember the video, you know, of the car chase. I'm just saying it's interesting.
Oh,
California,
okay.
Like just watching all that stuff and these overhead views we very seldomly see, and we saw so much of that. Not as much in Kobe Bryant because it's a little bit foggy, but obviously once they recovered everything, it just was like, wow, strange that within Los Angeles at three of these bigger incidents, and just the way it was covered, and like you said, you kept seeing the same clip over and over, just brought just a really eerie feeling.
Yeah. So the reports are. And it looks very much like he was apparently on his way to shoot a video. He was working with Drew Brees and Justin Herbert, the quarterback from the Chargers, maybe teaching them some golf. He had done the same thing the previous day. It sounds like he kind of wheeled out of the hotel in the area very quickly, according to reports. Like somebody that was coming into the hotel, a director of a movie, said he almost felt, he felt like he almost got run off the road. He didn't know who it was, right? Didn't know it was Tiger Woods. So if I had to guess, I'm guessing he's probably late. It's apparently a steep and winding road, many accidents there. He's going too fast. Mm-hmm. And so one thing leads to another. But thankfully, as we can report to you this morning from a Tiger Woods will survive and move on. That's all good. But he's got a long recovery ahead of him.
Yeah. And also to your point and going through my own mind, and I'm not in the air and I certainly wouldn't put on social media. But then you start thinking, and they were talking about the last time he had had an issue, and it was medication, right? He had back problems. He'd had surgery. So then I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe that. And then the other part I think we all would think about nowadays are distracted driving, right? Whether it be speed or you're running a little bit late. And even if you got your phone up in the right spot there, if you're, you know, it just takes a second. And as I said, there was no skid marks, right? I mean, he basically hit that curb and crossed over and was completely at full speed. So, just happy he's safe. And then also from that standpoint, lucky that nobody else in the other direction, was involved in the crash. That the focus is on Tiger Woods.
All right, so we'll keep you up to date on that story throughout the morning, but things look better for Tiger Woods as of this morning. All right, 6:31. Let's get to a quick text here at 12:1200 from the Prince. I've got that hump day vibe going strong today for work. The Sens are lethal on the power play when they're clicking. Brady is the power forward the Sens have never had. how many Gordie Howe hat tricks have Sens players gotten in the history? Happy to hear Tiger is recovering, by the way. Thanks, guys. That comes from the Prince. Yes, it was quite a night for Brady Tkachuk. We can go through the entire line in just a second, but this was the biggest goal.
Back the other way. Shabbat gets the puck ahead to center on the wing. Here comes Tkachuk busting in, sends in a shot, scores! Brady Tkachuk ties the game at four!
There you go. There's the game-tying goal, as Dean Brown called it, in the third period. If we're being honest with ourselves, that's a horrendous goal on Carey Price. Yeah, like, yeah, I've taken more than my fair share of shots at Sens goalies over the years, and especially this year, for letting in bad goals. I mean, that's a terrible goal from an alleged world-class goalie. Yeah, and I don't care how many great saves you make during a game. And Carey Price had lots of really, really good saves and some great ones last night. You cannot, for a second, in the third period of a game your team is leading by a goal, allow a goal of that caliber. And if you haven't seen it yet, it's Brady Tkachuk going down his off wing. He pokes it along the ice from, what, a distance of maybe 10 feet?
Yeah.
And just it goes right through Price into the net for the game-tying goal. It's a terrible goal.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, and interesting, JR, as a goaltender, and a guy's coming off the wing, there's lots of things you think about. And let's go back to earlier Brady Tkachuk's goal. That was a stinker on Price as well. Terrible angle on him. Not a great shot. Squeaks through him. But as a goaltender, you're set up and you see a guy coming off the wing. Your thoughts are, okay, is he going to cut across to the middle? How do I plan that? Is he going to end up trying to shoot short side? Is he going to hook the net and go around? You're trying to prepare for everything. But all you really need to do there is quite simply square up. I mean, that's all you're asking for. And for a team that's struggling, and there was a sequence in the second period, especially when they had the long power play, he's making world-class saves and he's making highlight reel saves. But who cares at the end of the day when you let in a goal like that and you end up losing? You just can't have that happen. And as I said, this is certainly not just one game. This has been a trend for Carey Price this entire season.
DJ Smith said in his time in Ottawa, which has now been a season and a quarter or whatever, how long it's been, that's the best game he's seen Brady Tkachuk play. Here's his stat line. 2 goals, 4 shots, 10 attempts, 1 fight, 7 hits, game-tying goal. I mean, if you want to talk about having your fingerprints all over a score sheet, that's what Brady Tkachuk was. And listen, you and I were, as little as a week ago, somewhat critical of the start he's had to the season. Yeah. It's not been terrible, but it's just been, it's been here, you know, it's been here and there.
Yeah.
It hasn't been impactful every single night. Now, you don't expect that from any player, but you know what, from Brady Tkachuk in his third year, You hope for a little more consistency, but last night you saw exactly what he can bring to the table.
Yeah, and you also, and this is so important for a power forward, hey, I don't care at the end of the day what Cam Neely's able to do. If he doesn't have Craig Janney and Adam Oates, he's not scoring the way he did, Jared. It's that simple. What we saw through the neutral zone yesterday is exactly what a young power winger wants. I want guys making plays. I want to get the puck inside the zone and drive the net. Brady Tkachuk isn't the type of player that should be grabbing the puck and trying to take it himself. So when you see Stützle, Batherson, Norris, got even Nick Paul not in his line, but you start to see the young players getting the confidence to buy time, make soft plays, get him into the area. I mean, I basically don't want him having the puck anywhere other than the top of the circle in a game. Do you know what I mean? That's his sweet spot. That's his area. Get in there and do all your other stuff. And that was a nice part of last night. And that's what will lead him to be in a bay, kind of like a Cam Neely.
We will get into the controversy of the goal that was wiped out for Montreal coming up in just a couple of minutes, but let's take you to the end. So they go through overtime. They go to a shootout. We've already talked about the fact of Stützle and the confidence he showed in his shootout attempt and goal. So now the puck is on the stick of Josh Norris for the chance to win the game.
Norris can win it for Ottawa.
Norris picks it up. Takes it wide again. Cuts in on the forehand. Norris moving in. Gets a shot. Scores! Oh. Norris wins it in the shootout.
I got to say, I don't want to make this picking on Carey Price night, but simmer. What the heck is Carey Price doing on that? He is so small in the net.
Yeah,
he's like, he's crouching down, and it's kind of like Norris said in his postgame. He said, I saw a spot over the glove. He had the whole freaking top half of the net that was wide open.
Yeah.
I don't know what Carey Price was doing there.
You go back to Carey Price, I'll go 4 years ago when he's playing JR. It was so effortless in his movement, and when he would move around, he had the big chest popped out and he looked good. Well, now he looks like a very athletic guy that's almost, you know, the old goaltending pitcher that used to, everybody used to have
yes.
in their house?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's looking like.
Exactly.
Like he's got that crouch that's open. And in this case, simply, Stützle comes in and absolutely schools him. Well, the next thing you think on Norris is, well, you know, a young guy, he's going to come in. I don't want to get beat in the five hole. And you just completely collapse. And it's interesting because last week, and I think Stefan Waite's still the goaltender coach in Montreal, my buddy Jimmy's brother, they had a drill in practice with Carey Price, and the whole thing was he was holding something in his hands together, no stick or anything, and he was just going back and forth making saves with his legs. And I thought, well, you know, that's a nice drill and it certainly looks good, but the part that I really notice is his upper body and the lack of presence that he has now, where he's so crunched over, where that's not what it used to be. It was almost like he would go back and forth, but he would present his upper body so much bigger than it is now.
So, from a technical point of view, you believe that Stützle beating him along the ice or between the legs, whatever, and ended up being the result in the next one is he is so unsure that's he's kind of covering, he's kind of, I guess, deferring to the bottom half.
Well,
he's leaving the top half open.
It could end up being that, or even the way that Norris ended up coming in. I'll go back to the Batherson goal in the game, JR. I think he really thought Norris was going to go to Deke. That was more what he was playing. He was playing the percentage that, hey, this guy's going to come inside here. He didn't expect the shot. Maybe no feel for the shot, not knowing Norris very well. And, man, it wasn't just that the net was open. He shot that thing like a guy. The confidence in Norris, not to mention the velocity. So I think he was betting on Deke. That's probably where he got fooled.
That's a hell of a shot.
Oh, and the confidence, right? Yeah. It's a snapper. It's like, boom, this is easy.
I did not, I'll be honest with you. I mean, we're doing the whole family is watching the game,
which is incredible in and of itself.
And I said, okay, call it in or out. And of course, everybody else is like, he's going to score. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And he just whips it right into the corner. I mean, that was, again, I'll go back to the confidence in which these young players are playing with. That's the astounding part to me. And again, it's not like we're talking about young players who are being insulated by great older players where you can kind of go out and do your own thing. These are the most important players on the team, and they are playing with just a level of confidence. Yeah. And it's a 6-14-1 team. This has not been a very good hockey team, and yet it does not seem to have dented their confidence whatsoever.
Yeah, and it shouldn't. In a year like this, now you reset it, as I said, how much more can you improve internally? You know, that is, as you said, and it is fun. It's nice to see the bonding of the group. They're smiling. They're having fun. Doesn't feel like there's any pressure. And again, that's the way the approach this entire season should have been. Nobody wants to lose. Nobody's accepting losing. But if you're improving and you're playing properly, you're going to get some wins. There's going to be some exciting nights, but more importantly, you kind of look to next fall and say, okay, you know, where are we at here? What are our expectations? And can we take another giant step forward as a team versus an individual?
Somebody tweeted in this morning and just said, my friend who coached Junior B used to say, when you're talking about the Tkachuk goal on Price, when your goalie gives up a soft one like that, you might as well go up and down the bench and kick everyone right in the nuts. I don't know why.
But for that game, too, it's interesting because it certainly was very exciting. But certainly you could look at some issues on both ends, JR, as far as the goaltending, but also go to overtime. And certainly, hey, Matt Murray's save on Toffoli saved the day, and it allowed it. But you talk about a roller coaster. I'll say on both sides for the season. And Matt Murray is stabilizing and been better. But that was also a game last night that I'm not saying Ottawa should have won going away, but the sequence when they were up, they should have held that lead. And I didn't. Yeah, it's hard to kind of get a handle on exactly where Murray's going to be at from period to period.
Yeah. Sens were up 2-0 and 3-1 at various points of that game, but they were also down 4-3 until Tkachuk scored that game-tying goal. Here's Brady Tkachuk talking about getting those back-to-back wins over the Habs.
Just showing a lot of maturity, and you can just see how much growth we've had as a group. And of course, it's been a weird year, but just to see the improvements, just see how much better we've gotten, and just see the potential that we have, it's so much fun to be a part of.
There's Brady Tkachuk learning how to speak without a couple of teeth that got knocked out last night by Shea Weber. And I'm thinking to myself, of all the guys that you would not want to get raked in the mouth by their stick, I would think probably, and I don't know, Zdeno Chara would be the other one who would probably have less flex on his stick. than Shea Weber. It's probably Chara. But, man, he just came up, and he was trying to lift his stick, missed, and went right up into his mouth. And, well, there go the first of probably many Chicklets over there.
Yeah, and what was it? Well, Chara ended up doing that with somebody. Didn't he throw a stick into the stands, JR? Like, he lifted the stick to the point. Okay. And that's exactly what Weber had yesterday. And, honestly, when it happens and he's bent over, the first thing you're thinking of, oh, my gosh, please, don't be that, because you're right, the strength of it, and everything's happening so quickly. But, no, that's an impressive night. And always fun to hear him in the pressers after, and the way he speaks is that, you know, he's certainly a young talent. On the ice, he still feels like a young man, at least visually. But when you hear him talk, he sounds like he's 29 years old, right? He's just such an interesting pressure points that he always touches on post-game, whether it be, and most times talking about teammates and the team itself, not himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to the text at 12-1200, and Joel writes, good morning, guys. Do you guys know what the Sens did differently because the power play the first unit looked unstoppable last night? That comes from Joel.
You know, Joel, I didn't see anything technically. Certainly having Thomas Chabot in there, I think, ended up helping. I think there was a little bit more confidence. As I said, I still have the critique on it of I would flip up Stützle and Batherson. But as far as movement looks, a lot of confidence. And I'll be honest with you as well, Jer, I'd love to see what Josh Norris looks like as far as a one-timer on the power play. And again, it was a snapshot last night. But boy, when you can shoot the puck like that, I would assume that he might have some confidence to be put in a spot like that on the power play.
Yeah, I would say the one thing, and like you, I don't know specifically something from the Ottawa point of view, other than getting into the zone and getting set up appeared to be easier. So whether they did something differently there, I'm not quite sure. But the one thing I noticed compared to, and I was comparing this to the games they played against Toronto on the PK pressures the puck all the time. Yeah. Like, they make you beat them with four quick passes in a row. Now, you're going to get a grade A chance if you can do it, but can you do it is the question. Montreal was very, very passive on the penalty kill, and that allowed all kinds of seam passes, you know, through their box or whatever, and some really good chances. Like, Stützle himself, right, had, was it two chances on the one power play? The one where it looked like he was going to score and he ended up hitting the side of the net.
Yeah.
And the other where Price made a save as well. So they had some unbelievable chances. But Montreal just seemed to be really passive on
the PK. And which is very strange, because for the way they started the year, right, they were scoring, I think, more on the penalty kill than they were allowing. And now all of a sudden very passive. You don't look very mobile. And I guess also if you're Ottawa, if you want to look at the mirror image, all you have to do is look at Montreal's power play and start feeling good about yourself. I mean, that disaster that they've carted out, there was no cohesion. And also just talking about players, and it's just early in the season, but isn't it amazing a month ago how we were just drooling all over Suzuki and superstar player? And now you kind of go through the players last night, and quite simply from an athletic standpoint, the comparison of just, say, Stützle. Don't even forget about Tkachuk. Like, just watch. If you never watched hockey and you just turned on that game last night and you wanted to say, who's the best athlete on the ice? Boy, oh boy, did he just stand out, and it's hard to find a lot of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted out, and I did it half in jest and half to get under the skin of Montreal fans. But you know what? Did their window to win open on January 13th on opening night, and did it close last night? I mean, you've got Ottawa out there with a bunch of daycare kids and a bunch of, if we're being honest, a bunch of washed-up veterans that, you know, won't be in Ottawa next year. And they go out and they've taken it to Montreal pretty much, you know. Oh, they've won three of the four games. I mean, this is Montreal's time. We talked about this yesterday. Their window to win with a 35-year-old top D and a 33-year-old goalie making $10.5 million a year, their window to win is right. And Brendan Gallagher is locked into a long-term contract, and you like lots of the feisty parts, but he's not going to get better as he goes here.
No.
Right? And Josh Anderson, real nice player, but 7 years of Josh Anderson, like, You can start to pick apart Montreal as well and go, well, this is going to get probably not necessarily ugly, but it's not going to be pretty in a couple of years from now. So they got to win right now.
And
they come in and they play Ottawa, you know, a team that was right at the bottom of the standings 2 weeks ago, and they've lost 3 out of 4 games to Ottawa. That's not good.
No, and Sunday night, as I said, maybe you come off a game against Toronto, but this was supposed to be also the way you start, right? I expected them to come out and just be full of energy. I mean, it was Ottawa that controlled the play and felt like that, and that's honestly, be quite honest with you, the Montreal Canadiens. That's why I think when the rumors start about a coaching change, if I was a manager personally, I would make a coaching change, because I have built a team to win right now. And history tells us for the most part that a fresh voice can actually change things around. And there's just too many spots with the Montreal Canadiens right now where a lot of guys just look like they've checked out of the hotel.
Schwab in the potholes texted in, said, good morning, radio guys. I'm hoping one of you can do me a solid favor. Do either of you have a contact? contact number for the Montreal Canadiens. I work at the CTC, and we just found Ben Sherratt's nose in the Lost and Found. Appreciate that. That's for sure.
I'll tell you what.
Piling on has begun.
Yeah. And it, with Brady Tkachuk, and you know, it's a little bit of a Borowiecki, although Boro would have his head down, JR. Brady Tkachuk just grabs you. He grabs with your left, and then he just starts chucking. And it's almost like, you know what? I'm going to chuck faster than you. And when I connect as a big boy like that, you're going to be going down. And it really is. It's not one of those technical guys where it's like, okay, I'm going to be holding on here. Let's start wrestling around.
They're both on their knees when he smoked them.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, hey, gloves off first, man, and you just start going. I'm assuming that's a duplicate of what he and his brother would do all the time when they fought at home.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, who can get the gloves off first and who can get that first one in? And as a younger brother, probably learned that very early, right?
Exactly. All right, we'll take a break. 6:47. When we come back, there was certainly, there was lots to talk about from the game, but the moment of controversy, the wiped out apparent game-winning goal by the Habs late in regulation. We'll come back. We'll delve into all of that when we come back here on this Wednesday morning. Sens win 5-4 in a shootout over Montreal. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. About from last night's game, a 5-4 shootout win for the Sens over the Habs. We've gone through Brady Tkachuk's night. DJ Smith called it, in his estimation, the best game Brady Tkachuk has had in at least his time here. We talked about the goaltending of Carey Price, the shootout goals of Stützle and Norris. We haven't even got into Drake Batherson, who continues to light it up with goals in three straight games now, and Eric Brandstrom with his first NHL goal as well. So we'll get into all of that throughout the rest of the morning. Continue with your feedback, but we want to get to the moment of controversy in last night's game, coming late in regulation. So let's go back to that moment in time. Game is tied at 4.
Puck comes back to the point. Weber gets it across. Here's the one-timer. Save is made. Loose puck back to the slot. Weber has a pop over his stick. Holds it in, though. Another shot. Scores! Puck was redirected on the first shot. The Montreal Canadiens have scored with 2 seconds remaining in regulation time.
After video review, it was determined there was contact in the crease by the Montreal player. The goalie was unable to reset. Therefore, we have no goal.
There you go. So, and that was obviously an edited. Would we like it if video review was done that quickly? It was not. But the Montreal player in question was Brendan Gallagher, who got tied up with an Ottawa defenseman, ended up knocking skates with Matt Murray, spun Murray around. Gallagher had time to get to his feet, and as he got to his feet, that shot comes in that you heard Dean mention, and it's Gallagher that actually tips it in front. At that point, Murray is not set. The question is, did he have enough time to be set or not? Did he kind of slow play it, as it were? Here is the reaction post-game from the Habs Brendan Gallagher.
You can't tell me he doesn't have time to reset. I got knocked on my ass. I was getting pushed down by two guys. I got up. I found the puck. I reset. You can't tell me I'm not trying to work my way out of the blue and the guy's not pushing me in. If you give me reasons like that, I'm just going to, I don't know how you sit there and you watch the video. And we get the same training on this at the start of the year as the referees do. So I know they've seen the same video. And we saw plenty of examples that are exactly like that. And they go the other way. And all we're looking for as players is consistency. If you would have showed us a video at the start of the year and told me that doesn't count, sure, fine. But I've seen it. I've seen the examples where they count the goals. And I don't know who's making the final call. The referees seem to think it was him. I don't know if it's going to Toronto and they're making the final call. But consistency is what we need. And we're not getting it.
All right. So there is Brendan Gallagher who went on to say, quote, it's ruining the product, end quote, talking about these controversial no goal and goal calls. So Simmer, on first blush and then upon review, what did you think? Right call or not?
No, it ends up being the right call technically, JR. That's the way the rule is. A few things. And first of all, you know what? We don't have real consistency in the goalie interference. I agree with this. But as a sport, nobody needs to say that you're ruining the product if the sky is falling. It certainly is not great. But in this particular case, and the thing I have a bit of an issue with Gallagher, guys, is that I know there's players that certainly, even Brady Tkachuk at times, you know, you're trying to get positioned to be in a scoring area. And then there's other people that flat out, like Brendan Gallagher, want to be pushed on the goaltender, right? And want to be in the situation. He caused a goalie interference. Murray didn't recover. The interpretation of that, the only issue or critique I'd have, JR, I wouldn't want my goaltender, and personally playing the position, if I'm in a 4-4 hockey game, I'm doing everything. I'm scrambling, and I'm moving my ass to get into position. It was almost a feeling like Murray thought that they're going to rule that way, and man, it could have gone either way. So that's it's the right call. But I would have liked to see him recover a little bit quicker on that, not be waiting and thinking, well, goalie interference in a 4-4 hockey game with 2 seconds left.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting take from Mike Johnson, again, who played in the NHL for a long time on the TSN TV postgame show, where he basically said that Murray kind of knew that, it was goalie interference and kind of slow played it. Slow played his recovering, knowing that if anything happened right in the here and now, that goal would be called back. It's it's a risk, to be sure, because, listen, that call could have gone the other way. None of us know. I mean, it is so inconsistent. Everybody, you could ask 100 people last night, whether that was a goal or a no goal, and the 50% that said, yes, it's a goal, wouldn't have been shocked had it gone no, and the 50% the other way wouldn't have been shocked either. I mean, no one has any way of knowing. That was an interesting take to me, that you would actually have a goalie in this situation actually slow play that, knowing he had something potentially in his back pocket.
Yeah, and I stole my entire take from Mike because I did though, JR, because I totally agree with him. And again, I go back to last night's game and Matt Murray, your phases, I want to get on board. Technically, he's doing better. Didn't like the second goal, didn't like the third goal, didn't like the fourth goal. And personally, and watching the trends, the way that hockey game is going, if I was personally the goaltender where I didn't think I really played well in a game that my team deserved to win, boy, I just think there'd be a lot more sense of urgency there. So that's the only critique. And the National Hockey League, the consistency part of it is very strange. I know we've talked, and you've talked off the air with Hammer about some of the international rules. I think at some point they have to adopt something where, and college has had this forever, when you skate in the crease, the play is dead. And that's usually, and I think in college hockey, used to be only called on power plays, JR, wasn't it at even strength? But do something like box lacrosse where, this idea of you're kind of in the paint, you're trying to get out. Hey, if you're in the blue paint like Brendan Gallagher and Tkachuk does it sometimes, you're really trying to interfere with the goaltender. You're really not trying to score at that point.
I think the biggest issue for me in trying to determine it or not is that I think all of the reviews on the TV broadcast last night that I saw were all in slow motion. Like, to me, that's a call that's got to be made in real time, because that's the way it plays itself out.
For sure.
I'm looking at the little clock in the front, and Gallagher's skate touches Murray's skate, starts the spin around at 7 seconds left. The puck goes into the net, I think, with 2.7 seconds or thereabouts. By the time Murray finishes his spin, I'm trying to look at it, it's like 4.1 seconds. So I'm going, it's 1.4 seconds that he's kind of facing frontwards again. But I need to see that in real time. I know how long 1.4 seconds is. But if I saw that in real time, I would have a better feel for if a goalie would have enough time. I think, to Gallagher's point of, I had enough time to get up and tip the thing. I do think it's easier for a player to get up and put a stick on a puck than it is for a goalie with all the equipment on and everything, kind of getting his crouch and all that other stuff. I do think it's easier for the player in that situation. I just thought the thing that was missing from all of that was the real-time replay of how long it actually was.
Yeah, and in the position, here's a couple of things, JR. First of all, to your point, as a player, you don't need to be composed as you leave the crease, right? You're not thinking of that. It's like, hey, I'm just trying to scramble out. It's like a fire drill. As a goaltender, as you get spun around, you could make an argument and say, well, my skate hit the post, and now I went to slide or to get into position there, and I lost an edge and I'm uncomfortable. And also for goaltenders, and this is the one, and I think it was a Calgary-Edmonton, maybe even a playoff series a couple of years ago, where somebody skated from behind the net, and I think JR, I hope you remember as a Calgary fan, I thought that either Calgary-Edmonton bumped the goalie's glove from behind and they didn't call goalie interference. And my point at that time was the worst pressure for a goaltender is backside pressure, because you understand what's in front of you, but anything that comes behind you, first of all, you're not protected the same way. It throws any goaltender off, even if I just touch your glove. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not expecting it. It throws your balance off. So I could see where Murray, a little bit flustered there. But I just felt like for him, man, I wouldn't. That would have been a tough one to see them lose that game on that play last night after how well they played. And as I said, was not at all thrilled with his game or the second, third, or fourth goals that went in on him.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. Take your sense hat off. Try to be neutral And this is where I'll always go back to, no matter what your favorite team is, if a call goes for or against you, pretend you're a fan of the other team. And how would you feel about that? So take your Sens fan hat off. Yeah, or if you're a Habs fan, put it on. Good goal or no goal?
Yeah.
That is the question. So Simmer, you're in for good goal. Hammer, where are you?
I am in for a good goal as well. My initial thought
is your Sens hat off?
It's off. And I'll explain why. My initial thought was.
Is it?
It is, because I thought it's a goal. Because I thought that Murray had enough time to reset. But then you start thinking about tracking the puck. He gets spun around, and you can see Murray the entire time. The initial shot was a rebound to the right side, and he is looking to the right side, trying to find that puck after getting spun around by Gallagher. And then it's at the last second that he realizes, oh, it's on the left side.
Mm.
And it's all about tracking the puck and giving the goaltender enough time to find it and reset, and I don't think enough time was given.
All right. I as well, and boy, we sound like three homers here on the radio, but I as well am in the no goal, and I was in the no goal right from the start. I absolutely 100% agree on no goal, and right now it's 59-41. 59% of you say no goal, 41% say goal.
Yeah, and think of a game or think of teams when they struggle and whether or not there's really pressure around the Montreal Canadiens guys. You get into a game like that where, to me, Ottawa felt like they were just schooled them. That's the most puck possession, and I don't know what the numbers look like, JR, as far as the analytics, but I'm like, wow, this isn't just a sequence in Toronto where you get a little bit lucky. For Montreal to come back and make it 4-3 in the fashion they did, to get one save from Carey Price, you walk out of here with a victory. All of a sudden, you have a sequence at the end where the game is tied. If they had won that, you'd be saying, there's Brendan Gallagher, the leader, getting dirty and getting a stick on the puck, and they end up walking out with a win. Like, that swing of momentum for Montreal last night as well is, you know, now you're walking out once again, not feeling very good about your hockey team.
Yeah, possession numbers were 53% for Montreal, 47% for Ottawa.
Okay.
So they saw it, analytics-wise, as a fairly even game, went to a shootout. That pretty much exemplifies pretty even. All right. Your thoughts on the goal, no goal. Love for you to share them with us. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. Join us on the phones as well at 750-1200. We'll get more into it in the next hour and certainly go over it with Pierre Maguire as well when he joins us after 8 o'clock this morning. We got still more to get to from last night's game. When it's all said and done and they wrap up the season on May the 8th, and the Sens probably will be on the outside looking in as far as the playoff spot goes. To last night's game, guarantee it'll be one of the ones that you will remember through the summer. The 6-5 comeback win over the Leafs in the game last night, two of the more memorable games, and they both happened within the last week. So we'll come back. We'll get more into it when we come back. But coming up, the latest news, an update on Tiger Woods' condition as well from CFRA. We'll run down the busy scoreboard, including details on the Sens win and a big comeback win by the Oilers as well last night over the Canucks. Hour two is on the way next here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.